Hi, I'm Jane Lindholm. We're re-airing one of our old favorites from a past episode today. We'll be back tomorrow with all new material. Until then, enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Rick Zingari. Walk into a spider's web, your first reaction might be to shudder rather than appreciate the impressive work of engineering you just destroyed. But scientists and engineers take spider silk very seriously. It has a combined strength and elasticity that human manufacturing still can't match. And it's still a mystery exactly how the arachnids pull that off. UVM biology professor Inge Agnerson, an expert on spiders, is trying to figure out this impressive trick by sequencing the genetic code of the spiders themselves. Back in May, Jane Lindholm spoke to Agnerson about his just-released study. She asked him, if threads of spider silk are so tough, how come we can walk right through them?
So if you were to weave them into a rope that was the same thickness as a steel fiber, you would not walk through that. Simple to say. And it would be a little bit stronger than the steel, but much, much more stretchy and therefore able to absorb much more energy. And that's really what toughness is. This is the combination of both the strength and stretchiness.
And are we able to make man-made materials that can mirror or match that toughness of spider silk?
No. In short, at least not easily. So the goal of this study is trying to understand at the molecular level the building blocks, how these materials are actually put together by the spiders to aid us in mimicking these properties in man-made materials.
And to do this study, I understand that you decided to sequence the gene of a particular spider, and it's called the golden orb weaver. So why did you decide on that spider?
So we sequenced the genome of golden orb weaver. The reason is mainly because this is the sort of the lab rat of spider silk research. Because they are easy to work with, they're very large spiders, so you get relatively thick fibers out of them, and they're easy to find in nature. They're pretty common in southern USA. So it's mainly that it's really easy to get them, easy to get silk out of them, and since we know already a lot about their biomechanics, it's very practical to do a study like this on their genomes.
What you said they're very large. What do they actually look like?
Let's see. They are maybe up to a couple of inches long with the legs, make these typical orb webs, but they have a unique yellow golden shine to them. So it's really easy to identify them in the field because their silk is yellow.
Hmm.
And they're sort of long, large spiders making big webs.
Why sequence the gene of the spider rather than focus specifically on the properties of the silk itself?
Well, a lot of the research that has been done on spider silk in the last 50 years has focused on the biomechanical properties, and we understand these pretty well. So now the issue is, what is the structure of these materials that have this excellent performance? And that's where this study comes in, trying to understand the molecular makeup of these fibers whose biomechanics we have already characterized pretty well.
And what have you found so far? I know we've buried the lead here. So what have you found in your study?
So this is kind of the first full genome of an orb-weaving spider. So our first goal was simply to characterize the different types of silk they have and asking very basic questions like how many types of silks do they actually make? How many types of proteins are each type of silk composed of? And what are the similarities and differences between different silks? So we've created this huge database, this resource that we can now basically pinpoint the molecular structure of different types of silk and start to answer these questions of, you know, what is it that makes this particular silk very strong or that other type of silk very stretchy and so on.
I'd love for you to describe some of the different silks and the different ways the spider thinks about using them.
Right. So a typical spider, orb-weaving spider like the golden orb-weaver, they have seven different types of spigots from which they extrude the silk, and each of them produces quite different fibers that are used in different contexts. So some of the silks, they, for example, use as the bridge lines and radial fibers, kind of the structural fibers of the ore web. A different type of silk they use as the sticky spiral that ore webs typically have. They have a specific type of silk-like material, the glue that goes in there. They have a specific fiber to make the outer coating of an egg sac, for example, for protecting the eggs, spider eggs. And they have another type of silk which they use specifically as a cement to glue fibers together while making, for example, webs, and so on and on.
It's so amazing. And I also love this idea that the venom sac has some interplay with making silk. And it makes me wonder if silk has any kind of venomous properties in it, or if it's just happens to be that the venom sac is making some of the silk.
Right. So this was very surprising. The silk fibers come out of the end of the abdomen of the spider where all the silk glands are. And the venom is produced in the front of the spider, close to the mouth, obviously. So there's no physical connection or proximity, but it turns out that one of the silk proteins is almost exclusively expressed in the venom glands. So we really, this was really surprising, and we really don't know what it's doing there.
Well, Inge Arnigsen, I hope we can have you back. I bet there are lots of listeners who have questions about spiders, and I would love for you someday to defend the lowly spider from people who hate them. Thank you very much, Professor Arnigsen, for talking with us about your research.
Thank you very much.